No, I see it lit up now. This is Michael Klein, and we're here in the what room is this?
Trustees
boardroom. Our very nice room, and it's a beautiful, beautiful morning outside. We're here with the Hindles, and I'm going to ask you both to introduce yourself. Would you say my name is and tell us your name?
My name is Sarah Hindle.
And we don't ever ask a woman her age, but would you tell us your date of birth so we can...
I'm 83.
Just your date of birth.
1931.
31. Well, my goodness.
You are so beautiful.
I never would have guessed 83. Never,
83
ever.
83 is a beautiful age.
I'm enjoying it.
And you are?
I am Wynn Hindle, born in 1930.
Wow. You are one extremely well-preserved couple.
But we feel fortunate to be here. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'd like to start off and tell us a little bit about your early years and your path to Concord.
Before Concord?
Yeah. Where you grew up and how you came to Concord.
Oh, I grew up in Oak Park, Illinois, and came east to school, went to Smith College. And my mother said, "You're going to love New England. I don't think you'll ever come back." And she was right. So after graduation, I came back and lived in Boston, and then I met a fellow named Wynn Hindle, and we got married in 1984.
How about 54?
That sounds better, yeah. And we've lived in, after the Navy time down in Washington, D.C., we've lived in Concord ever since. Lexington and then Concord, but I consider Concord.
Ever since being?
What year was that, 19... Out of the Navy.
We got out of the Navy in 62, I think.
Okay.
And
lived in Lexington for 6 years.
Well, yeah. Okay. We rented in Winchester for 1 year, and then bought a house in Lexington.
And then we both loved more rural areas, and we moved to Concord. In 1965, 64 or 65, and have been here ever since. Plan to stay.
What was it about Concord that made you so determined to get here?
Well, it's such a beautiful town, and then as you get to know it, it's got so much to offer with all of the history behind it, with the Transcendentalist writers, and the museum is such a fabulous place. But what first drew us here was it was more rural and beautiful. And we lived on a pond, and I like beauty around me and pine trees and water and such.
Mm-hmm. And you?
I was born in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and lived in South Dartmouth, Massachusetts, all during my first 8 years of life. Then I went away to boarding school at Deerfield Academy, where I stayed for 4 years as a boarder. Then went on to Amherst College, where I stayed another 4 years. And then went on to MIT for 2 years and obtained a master's degree in industrial management at the Sloan School. And right after that, because the draft was still on, I entered the Navy as an officer, went through officer candidate school. And that was the period in which Sarah and I were dating. And while I was at officer candidate school, we decided to get married. And I had, after officer candidate school, I had a 2 week leave before I had to report for my next duty. So we ventured out to Oak Park, Illinois, and got married and took a very short honeymoon and drove down to Georgia, where I was in Supply Corps school. I was in the Navy, stationed in the Pentagon for 3 years, and We loved Washington. We enjoyed being in Washington. Our first daughter was born there at the Bethesda Naval Hospital.
$8.75 for my food.
And came back, went back into the administration at MIT, where I was a so-called industrial liaison officer, keeping MIT's research in front of large corporate research departments. And I stayed there for 3 years, and then met a professor there who was on the board of a startup company named Digital Equipment Corporation. And he introduced me to the co-founder, Ken Olson. I went out and interviewed because I was about to leave MIT.
You might mention that that person was Jay Forrester, who lives here in Concord.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I hope you have a chance to interview Jay. Wonderful, wonderful professor and human being. Anyway, I went to Digital and stayed there 32 years.
It sounds like some specialized kind of PR where you're laying out the research, or was it not that at all?
No, and mostly large corporations at MIT, mostly large corporations who made a contribution to MIT's operating expenses every year as the privilege of joining this program. And we had four or five of us in the office whose job it was to introduce the researchers in industry to the appropriate faculty at MIT. This program is still going. It's called the Industrial Liaison Program, and MIT still uses it to maintain its very good relationships with corporate America. Not only just America, but corporate across the world.
I was just trying to imagine the variety of skills you must have to do that job well.
Well, you basically had to be curious. You had to know what research was going on at MIT so you could put the people from industry in touch with the right faculty members. So we had an interviewing program where the people from industry would come and interview various faculty and talk about their research. And then we had a written program where the faculty's written descriptions of their research would be sent out to those who we thought was appropriate to receive that kind of research information. And we had a series of seminars where we would invite members of the corporate America to come and listen to a group of faculty talk about a particular subject. That was an information exchange program. I think probably industry learned a lot more than most faculty did, but the faculty was very helpful and cooperative, and it was a pleasure to be there.
What do you remember about those same years?
Basically being busy with three children. But I loved those digital years and felt it a privilege to go along with Wynn on a lot of trips and know the people. And it was a company where the board and their spouses were very dedicated to the company, and I was very dedicated to that. We had three children. One, as we mentioned, Karen was born in Washington, and then we moved to Lexington for a few years and had two children there, and then moved to Concord, and we lived out on a Nurseneck Hill on a pond because I love that water and the pine trees, and we were there 16 years. The kids went through Concord schools.
Yeah, I guess about that.
I think it was 16. And then we built a house in on the Shattuck Hill 35 years ago.
Yep. 1982, we moved in.
Yeah, and there we are.
Was your husband still with Digital when you moved to Concord?
Yes, he went with Digital when we were living in Winchester. No, living in Lexington. And he thought the commute would be quite nice, 25 minutes just over to door-to-door and into the office, which was great. And then I got myself involved with the Concord Museum. I hope you visited that while you're here. And that was in probably in 1966. And a friend of mine was very involved there. And went on to become a member of the Ladies Association, which did all the fundraising projects and was very small, kind of seat of the pants place at that point. And I mean, we used to go in March. It was closed during the winter, and we all would go in March and do the cleaning of the rooms before it opened to the public. And then I went on to be head of the Ladies Association, which I loved doing. And then later with the museum, I was on the search committee twice for bringing in new directors. And that was a wonderful experience. And then after the second one, I was on the Board of Governors. And then after the second one was brought in, I became head of the board for 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know how long it was. And again, that was a wonderful experience. And it was interesting because the one that was the director was Peggy Burke's husband. Peggy is now head of our museum, and it was her husband who we took as the director back in those early days. And then he went on to go to Baltimore for several years and came back, and he's now in Boston as head of the Historical Society. But Peggy, his wife, is head of our museum. And it is alive and well. But I told the board when we were going through that, I said, if they asked me to be head of the board, and I said, well, these are the terms. If you hire Dennis, I'll be head of the board. If you hire one of the other two people, no, I don't think I want to be. So they hired Dennis, and I became head of the board. And we worked well together. And then I kind of sat back for a while there, but then they brought, I know one thing that was interesting there. I made a, what would you call that group, an advisory group. And we asked about 20 people from Deerfield, Winterthur, and various other places to come on and be on an advisory committee for the museum. And I called these people and asked me to do this, thinking that I would get a lot of no's, and I got no no's. Everybody said yes, and that was a wonderful experience of having them come together twice a year and pick their brains, and they would suggest to us, and it was a very fruitful few years. And then they started a board of trustees, which is sort of people who have been involved with the museum for years and people who are showing an interest, maybe come on the board and trustees, and then move on to something else working with the museum. So that's where I am now. And Wynn's a trustee also, because we're honorary members. And that was my main working project, volunteering at the museum through those years.
You also mentioned that the Board of Governors of the museum is still the operating board that does the decision-making along with the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
And the trustees are advisory and helpful to the museum, but not in any way responsible for day-to-day operations.
Yeah, that clarifies. Mm-hmm. Well, your wife has just touched on one of the major themes of all these interviews we've done in Concord, and that's volunteerism. That's finding something to reach out and take a hold of and make your own, become involved with it. And it's certainly distinguishes Concord from many other places in that there's such an interest in participation and how things are run, shared, and
And the history that's here.
And the history and everything. Mm-hmm. So you're a perfect example of this kind of thing. Digital consume all of your energies,
it consumed 98% of my energies for sure.
What did
digital?
Digital, the company that I was with for 32 years. It was fast growing and became a leading company in the computer industry. While the computer industry was still active in Massachusetts and hadn't yet moved to California, where it, of course, is centered now. But we had a real ride for a while, and it was mind-boggling to see how fast we grew and what a clever group of engineers we had to bring products onto the market. And then the founder and chief executive of Digital, Ken Olson, had a very unique way of running a company. He believed in trusting the people that work for him and not trying to over-manage them. So gave us a lot of freedom to innovate and to work with one another. And it was just a heady, happy atmosphere, which think of Ken Olson as one of the real pioneers of modern management. Digital did very, very well up until the middle 1980s. And then, for many, many reasons, which I won't try to go into because there's a lot of controversy about what happened and why it happened. But anyway, the company started losing money in the late 80s and early 90s. The board finally asked Ken Olson to leave. I stayed on another couple of years with the new chief executive, Bob Palmer, and then I retired 2 years after that in 1994. During my digital years, the last 2% was taken up by being on the board of trustees at Wheaton College in Norton, Massachusetts, which is a wonderful school that started out as an all-women's college, and then the applications started diminishing while I was on the board, and the president there and chairman of the board brought to the trustees the opportunity to go co-ed, which was very controversial with many of the alumni. Very controversial. But we went ahead and voted for it anyway, and Wheaton has done well since then as a co-ed institution. I became chair of the board and was chair for 10 years. Retired from there in early 2000. And I still have very fond memories of working with the senior people at Wheaton College. But that was the only outside activity that really
I
had.
Is that near here? I can't
remember. It's Norton, Massachusetts is south of Boston by about 30 miles. Norton is a small town dominated by the college.
It's near Providence.
You know, halfway between Boston and Providence. It's often confused with the Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, which is a very different kind of a college. Anyway, that was my diversion from all full-time at Digital. Then when I retired from Digital, I became a member of the board of directors of Emerson Hospital, which is our local hospital here in Concord. And I am still on the board of Emerson Hospital, which of course is going through all the changes that healthcare is going through, and So it's been a very interesting.
Talk about just a couple of those.
Well, the emphasis on cost controls has dominated the conversation in hospitals for the last, I would say 6 or 7 years, because the costs have been going up much faster than inflation. So we've had to work very diligently on getting our costs down, but not at the sacrifice of quality. The other emphasis is in the other direction, which is the improvement in the quality of patient care. And we've been able to do both, increase quality and decrease cost. And fortunately, we have a CEO at the hospital who is very good at all of this, and she has done a superb job of making both of those things happen, reducing costs and improving quality.
And her name?
Her name is Chris Schuster. And she's still the CEO of the hospital.
Schuster spelled?
Schuster. S-C-H.
U.
S-C-H-U-S-T-E-R.
Thanks.
Chris Schuster. Yeah. But we have a very fine medical staff and a very a wonderful group of volunteers. You talk about volunteers in Concord. I think the volunteers at Emerson Hospital contribute free of charge, of course. They don't get paid something like $1 million worth of labor hours per year. And so the Concord citizenship is very generous in terms of their time. And we're very thankful for that.
Was this the case, do you think, when you all first came? Or has that volunteerism increased any in your observation?
What I observed when I was head of the Ladies Association, typically everybody kind of had a committee job. And I used to have the meetings at 1 o'clock, bring a sandwich, and I'll have coffee and cookies or whatever. And it was a wonderful time to getting to know what each other person was doing. Then as time went on, after I had finished my tour of duty, it began to change. They changed the name to Museum Guild so that men could be included and such. And people would say, yes, I'd be happy to do that, but I don't want to go to meetings. And so they still volunteered, but I was disappointed because they didn't have that camaraderie of the board, which we had when we had meetings. But they get a lot done, and I think it's growing stronger and stronger at the museum anyway. I can only speak for the museum. Oh, I can also speak for the hospital because I know how large that auxiliary is there. So I think there's a lot of volunteerism. Once people get to this town and they realize what it is, people who are transient and come in and go out sometimes don't get involved. But yes, I would say that volunteerism has grown.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what else has changed about Concord and what sort of stayed the same in your estimation?
Well, the town has changed a bit in that some of the stores are different, and there was more real estate offices. And where the old dime store was on Walden Street, a bank was going to come in there. And the town just rose up and said, no, we don't need another bank. And they listened, and the bank didn't come in. So it's more family-owned and smaller stores. One of the things I don't like is the tearing down of little houses and putting up McMansions. It's happened a lot in our neighborhood. And sometimes the houses that go up are just out of proportion and change the character of the street and the neighborhood. And I'm a great fan of having small, unobtrusive, they don't have to be too small, but having unobtrusive houses to keep the character and not be showy. I belong to two garden clubs. One is the Concord Garden Club, which is large and very active, and I'm an associate now, but it's much more active in doing things in the town than we did when I first started with the club, and they do a wonderful job. I really admire how it's grown and their participation. And the other one is it's small. There are only 30 of us, and it's called Seeds and Weeds. So we have a lot of fun. We have speakers and things, and we do take care of various areas in the town throughout the summer, the growing season. Like the library is one of them. And
the grounds of the library?
No, just the flower pots in front and the trough in the center of town and a triangle down on Lexington Road. So they are our responsibility for planting and tending. The other main thing that both Wynn and I have been involved in is the West Concord Union Church, and it belongs to United Church of Christ. And we went there we moved in July, and we said to the kids, we're going to the church, big white church next to the post office, the Tricon, Trinitarian Congregational. And neighbors of ours said, oh, come to West Concord Union Church. So we did the first September Sunday, and we shook the hand of the minister and said, we're coming. Never went to another church to try it out. And so we've been there since 1965 and have been very involved through those years.
Was there something special about that church?
Yes, it's very low-key, very friendly. People continually, when we went, of course we knew a couple of our neighbors who went there, but people come up to you and say, are you new here? And that is something that still goes on, and it's very homey. We seem to get very inspired young ministers when we change ministers. The unfortunate thing is that they're young and getting a lot of experience. They're wonderful, and sometimes they only stay between 7 and 10 years. But I think that's one of the exciting things, to have had probably 5 ministers in our time that we've been there. Every one of them we have connected with and still hold on to a couple of them as dear friends.
And you, what have you seen change in this town in the years you've been here?
Well, I'd reiterate what Sarah said about some of the homes that have been built in some parts of Concord are, from my perspective, much larger than they need to be and too showy. That's changed, because when we first got here, that wasn't happening. But of course, it is happening in more towns in Concord. It's happening all over the country, which I think is unfortunate. That's the change on the reverse side. But in terms of the spirit of the town, I don't think that's changed. I think people love the historic aspects of living in a town where American history was not begun, but also was carried out. And every April 19th, we celebrate so-called Patriots Day. We have a ragtag parade. We name a citizen of the year each year, somebody that's contributed a great deal to the town of Concord. And it's just a pleasant patriotic attitude about, and there's a little bit of a rivalry with Lexington, because we say, well, the British marched all the way through Lexington and killed a few people, but they came to Concord and we stopped them. That was back in April of 1775. But we still live with that history, and of course we have a tremendous number of visitors that come to Concord in the summer to appreciate that history and being involved with the museum. Of course, we're very involved with that, but there are a number of other historic houses here, Ralph Waldo Emerson's house is here and available to look through, along with a number of the other poets of the
Nathaniel
1800s, the Hawthorne House. And
Alcott House.
Yeah, Louisa May Alcott and Bronson Alcott's house.
Just to speak about the spirit, one of the bicentennial, it was celebrated by the country in 76, but Concord celebrated it in 75. So there's just a little stubbornness there and pride in keeping the history right.
Mm-hmm. And the president of the United States at the time was Jimmy Carter.
Jerry Ford.
Came and celebrated this event with us. And, of course, it's always exciting when a president honors your town. Other changes? There are a number of schools here. Education is very important, but it always has been. We have a number of private schools, but we also have excellent public schools. And we're fortunate to have both. Our children all attended the public schools. Many of our friends' children attended the private schools and still do. But we are very happy with the education that our children got here through high school. Of course, they went away to college after that because there's no college nearby.
Can you talk about that choice? That sounds like an interesting choice to choose public education for your children.
Over private.
Why did we choose public school?
We chose it because, particularly I, having gone through public school as a private school as a high school student, thought that the opportunity to for being with all kinds of people. In other words, private school kind of separates people because they have to have a family with a fair amount of wealth in order to afford the private schools. Whereas at public school, it's a public education, and everybody in town is eligible to go. And I liked that aspect of it at the time. We had a lot of discussions about that.
Yes, we did.
And how did those go?
Well, you know who won. No, I would like to have seen our son go to Penn. He wasn't what you call terribly motivated, but he went through. And then after 4 years at high school, he went for one postgraduate year at Deerfield, where Wynn had gone to school. Mm-hmm. So we had a difference of opinion.
Well, that's healthy.
Oh, yes. We've stayed together, so.
We just celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, goodness. We did stay together, didn't we?
Yeah, right. We're going to stay together. We aren't going to break up now.
Too late.
What I did after, after the museum, because I've been involved with that for the turn of the century, I think, I've been working with the Virginia Thurston Healing Garden, which is in Harvard, Massachusetts, about 25 minutes west. And my only complaint about it is that it's not in Concord, because my people that I work with now are not Concord. They're out farther. But it's a wonderful institution, which started out as a healing center for breast cancer people, and then about 5 years ago we changed to all cancers, and we do integrative complementary therapies like art and music and massage, acupuncture support groups. I think we have 8 support groups, all of different stages people are in. And it has grown, and it's a nonprofit, and our basis is no financial barriers. So we run by the seat of our pants a lot of the time and are out holding our hands out with a little tin cup and shaking it. But it's been very successful. We added an addition to the original cottage, and we're working on the medical world to understand us better and what we're doing. So that's taken me out of Concord, but it's been a very rewarding thing. I was head of the board for about 10 years, and just very rewarding, heartwarming.
Did I hear you say something about gardening?
Well, it's called the Healing Garden because it's the Virginia Thurston Healing Garden. And Bill Thurston was head of GenRad here in General Radio here in West Concord for years, and they lived in Harvard. His wife got cancer, and after she died, well, while she had it, her therapist was at Neshoba Hospital, and with Betsy Tyson Smith, who used to live in Concord years ago. And after she died, he said to Betsy, if I give you 2 acres of land of the little cottage where my mother lived, would you start a healing center? And because they have these 8 acres of gardens, which they did themselves, she was a master gardener and went to Radcliffe Horticultural, I forget what it's called at Radcliffe, but a horticultural school degree. And they have done all the gardens and the ponds and things like that there. So that's why it's called the Healing Garden. Plus, we find that using the environment and beauty of the environment is very soothing and helpful for healing. Mm-hmm. So if you have a spare day, I recommend you go out and take a peek. It's out in Harvard. It's about 25 minutes from west of here. But you walk in, and there's just a healing feeling about the whole place. It's been a very heartwarming experience for me.
I'd like to mention the fact that we have 3 children, as I think we said earlier, 2 daughters and a son. And our 2 daughters just recently moved back to Concord and both live here.
Yay.
And one daughter, our oldest, has 3 boys who live in the Boston area, so we get to see those three grandchildren quite a bit. And our son moved to California, where he's a contractor, and they have 3 children, and every March we emigrate from Concord to the San Diego area and rent a condo out there so we can be near our West Coast family. And that's a great experience, too, to get to know our West Coast group. Not quite as well as we do the East Coast group, but pretty well.
Good for you.
And then the second daughter is not married, is right around the corner from Karen, and she's involved with Save a Dog in Sudbury, and they bring dogs up from the south and then find homes for them. And she loves animals. She's certified in small animal massage and has made quite a little life for herself doing this. Very happy with it. And she's a great gardener. And Karen, the oldest, Karen Donahue, works at the Middlesex West Chamber of Commerce. So she puts on events probably 3 a month and gets to know all the merchants in both Acton and Concord, and a great people person.
We leave Concord in the summer and have for 40 years because we purchased a home in Nantucket. So we generally are there for most of July and August. And it's a place where our children and grandchildren like to gather in the summer. And so we have a good time in Nantucket.
Really, the last 4 or 5 years, we've had one of our grandsons living with us during the summer and working on the island.
Nice.
That's the way to get to know a grandchild.
Could be better
than that. Yeah.
Well, with regard to Concord, are you optimistic about Concord? How do you see?
I'm very optimistic about Concord. I think it's a well-run town. There's always competition for the board that manages the town, the select board. And we have an excellent town manager who's there full-time. And then we have a number of volunteer committees who also help to run the various aspects of the town. There is a town meeting every year, which of course has been a Massachusetts tradition for a long, long time, and it still is active, very active, here in Concord. Are you optimistic?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I am. And people are willing to stand up and say, hey, I don't agree. And, you know, so town meeting can be very lively. So I think that shows that the people care about the town and want to be heard and represented. And, you know, I think it's a very healthy town.
Great. Is there anything else we should pick up?
I think that kind of covers us and our lives here in Concord.
I'm so interested in the depth of your volunteerism and also just raising children. The depth.
Oh, depth.
Yeah. Thank you. It's the opposite. Yeah, 10 years here and 10 years there. I wonder, why did you devote all this time outside your own home? 3 children is a lot to raise.
But if you stay home completely and get involved, if you stay home completely and just get involved in your children and the lives of, that's how you meet a lot of people, with going to the sports and things, but you aren't giving back to the town and you aren't broadening your own life. One of the other things I did when I was in junior league for a while, I worked out in the state house. And I was just blown away because I didn't understand anything. So I did this wonderful chart of how the history of Concord and how things happened, because we had all these things in the museum at the state house.
The timeline, sort of?
Timeline, exactly. Exactly. And that was a long time ago, but it got me out of the house. The kids were quite small at that point. But I thought it was important for me to have something besides just 3 children. So I managed to do that.
Mm-hmm. What are the seeds of this idea of this ethic of giving back? Where does that come from in your...
Came from Oak Park, Illinois with my parents, I think. Because they were involved in... My father was at one point head of the town. Mother was always involved with various things, so I was used to family participating.
Yeah, I think I'd say very much the same thing. I grew up in a family that was generous and caring about the town we lived in, and so it came naturally to me to want to give back, and hopefully we've continued to do that all our lives, and we'll continue in the future.
I think one of the things that really impressed me when we moved here, you've got the Concord Players, you've got the Concord Band, you've got the Concord Orchestra, you've got
Concord Chorus,
and you've got all these historic homes which have volunteers and such and things to offer. And it was just such a culture in this town that's unusual, and you can't help but absorb it. And I'm always very proud when I say I live in Concord, Massachusetts.
Why?
For those reasons that, and for the people who it is, you can't say that to Pun Video. Ask you know, you live in Concord. Oh, there are wonderful people there, but it's the culture, and the beauty. I mean, the 3 rivers and the few. fields, and I like that. I had a lot of ruralness in my upgrowing with going north to northern Michigan in the summer, and we had a farm west of Chicago, so I was out in the land quite a bit.
Changes have you seen in terms of the social life around here? You mentioned the McMansions, but what about the social networks?
I don't know. It, earlier days when we were younger, we had a group that would get together regularly and put on dances, and we had a great time doing that. That hasn't happened in the more recent years.
Dances?
The auxiliary at the hospital used to put on a wonderful Mayflower ball. And then it got that, I don't know if the people who were running it got older or what, but some of us weren't in for the ballroom anymore. But that doesn't happen anymore.
Will you describe those dances? I'd love to hear what you were dancing
to. They were in the Armory, which is an ugly old building over here on Everett Street. And the gals would just decorate it to the nines, whatever the theme was for the time. It was always spring-oriented. And if there was a centennial or something like that, we had to go in red, white, and blue or some. It just very festive and gay. Now what the Emerson Hospital, every 18 months, they put on a gala, and that is just done beautifully, and they make a lot of money. They choose an organization of the hospital, like the pediatrics or the oncology area or cardiac, and the money goes to that particular area to support them. And they're very well attended.
What sort of dancing were we talking about, though? I'm trying to picture.
Was it live music, for example?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Well, of course, back in the early days, it was the kind of music that we'd love to dance to in the 60s, 70s, and maybe early 80s. But I suppose like at a wedding, they play some calm, quiet music during the food, and then they have fun.
Big band stuff?
Big band kind of music. Yeah.
We couldn't afford a huge big band, a national brand.
No.
But there were some orchestras that, you know, probably 20 pieces, and they would play pretty lively dance music.
The Emerson Hospital has the same kind of music type of thing, and, you know, after dinner and dessert and a little bit, the music begins to get livelier, and most of the gray hairs walk out the door.
Time to go home.
Yeah. But they're attended by young and old, so this is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you have regular contra dances here in Concord.
Well, that's right.
Down at the church?
Scout House.
Scout House has regular...
They used to have square dancing all the time.
They still square dancing and contra dancing, which is...
Are they still doing that?
New England.
I think they still do.
Yeah.
They used to have square dances all the time, did you say?
There was a group, a fairly large-sized group, that would do Saturday nights a couple times a month at the Girl Scout House.
I haven't heard of the Girl
Scout. You haven't heard of the Girl Scout House?
Tell me about the Girl Scout
House. Oh, it's right down Walden Street, which is just over right in the center of town. It's on the right, past the church. And it's used a lot for big meetings. And I guess it used to be used for square dancing, contra dancing, I guess. I don't know where that takes place. But it's just a wonderful little building. And then we have 51 Walden. Concord Players is doing a wonderful Kiss Me Kate right now. Mm-hmm. We went the other night. And it's an old armory. It was the first armory. And
it's really ugly, right?
Yeah, well...
Or too old to be ugly,
maybe. It's too old to be ugly, yeah. No, it's wonderful. And they had a renovation of it. It's called 51 Walden. And one of the cute things they did was you bought a chair. It was a way of earning money, you know, making money for it. So I can remember that they'd have chairs out in front. And you buy a chair to support the 51 Walden, the Players.
Now we're getting into the to the real meat and depth of this culture.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about our church, the West Concord Union Church, it's crossed the cross route two on the other side, which is West Concord. And when we moved to West Concord, they had a separate zip code. And I suppose maybe 5 years after we were here, they all became one, and so it's 01742 now for everything. But it was a church started 1891, and it was started by the guards at the prison. You've heard about the prison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not much, but
not much.
I haven't heard of it.
Well, there's another big group who's very good volunteers that go there to the prison. In fact, every Christmas time, the various churches have bags that they fill, and they give you things that you can buy, and then the dime store, of course, gets those things in, so you can go one place and get them all. And they fill bags and take them to the prison, and you put Christmas cards on them, but you don't sign your name. Or you can say Sarah. But a very active volunteer group up there. But our church was started by the guards, and it started up on the second floor of one of the little, it used to be the post office, which is no longer. We have a new post office. And it's a community church. And people come from towns outside of here, Maynard, Sudbury, Acton.
And this is the church you chose.
This is the church we chose.
Mm-hmm. As much for its social activism, I'm starting to guess, as
yeah, we became a what do we call that? When we went, not co-ed, but with gays and lesbians, we did that.
Oh,
that.
We did open and
affirming. Open and
so
affirming.
So we were open and affirming to any and all people who wished to join, and conducted weddings of anybody who came to wanted a wedding.
Has been very successful.
But there are a number of active churches in Concord. We're not the only ones. Mm-hmm.
And I think some of them are open and affirming, too. I think Trinitarian is.
Can you talk about that process? That sounds complicated, becoming...
It was. And there were people in our church who were very much for it. And what's wonderful about that church is just a lot of the older people, I'm afraid that we're that now, but anyway, there have been wonderful, wonderful older people who have been active in the church, and our church started growing, and we became sensitive to the fact that we don't want to come in and walk on their footsteps, you know, step them down. We want to consider them so that they can come along, and you have to, you know, bring them along with you. And that was really a bit of a struggle, and we had a congregational vote, and it was voted in. So, and it's been very successful.
Did you lose any members?
We lost some members.
Yes, we mm-hmm. did.
And we gained some members, too. And the other thing at that church, which is wonderful, is we do a ministry to Minuteman ARC people who are mentally disabled, physically disabled, and that's been going on now for almost 30 years. And we have, there's one man every Sunday, at the sharing time, he puts up his hand and he goes to his mama, papa, and such, and, you know, Charles is praying for his family, asking for prayers for his family. And it can bring a tear to your eye. I mean, and the Christmas pageant, they will dress up as the sheep and the goats and things, and they're allowed to carry a scepter,
a staff,
thank you. So it's a beautiful ministry within that church. I think they're about, when they're all there, I think they're maybe up to 30. They all come.
Was this West Concord versus Concord thing a big deal then when you first attended the church? What sort of different feeling was there?
You can say. I've been talking.
It certainly wasn't a big issue. I think it used to be. Far before we ever came to Concord, we have, of course, a very busy Route 2 that divides Concord in half. And I think there used to be a lot of feeling that the West Concord was kind of off limits for the people in Concord. But that's changed in recent times, and there's been some new communities built, a new series of houses built in West Concord, which has changed the character of West Concord. Although the downtown shopping area is still a joy,
The streets around it, where our kids have gone, the young people are loving to move to West Concord now because the houses are smaller and more affordable for them. And there's quite a community of young people active.
And a new library, I guess.
Oh, I was on that committee for building that library. I was on the trustee here at this library for years and was on the building committee when we put the addition onto the small library over there. And then they decided to do a big renovation here at this library. And I thought, I think it's time for me to get off, bring some new young blood in. And so I resigned at that time.
Mm-hmm. Not in protest of the
development. Oh, no. No, not at all. No.
No.
What were some of the issues at stake when you were on the Board of Trustees in the library? Do you recall? I know it's a while ago.
No, it was just keeping it going, I think. It was just keeping it going. It's an unusual situation of it's not owned by the town. The trustees own the building and are responsible for the maintenance and the hiring of the people. And then the town, I think, owns the... Friends of the Library are another volunteer group that supports the library, puts on the book sales. But it's a very unusual... It's a Concord Free Public Library, it's called.
Friends are owned by the town, but the board itself is not?
The Friends are just a volunteer group within the library.
But the library is partially funded by the town.
Mm-hmm.
The town meeting is part of the budget that comes to the library, and then the rest of the income has to come from donations.
But and we're in charge of the upkeep.
Yeah. But when they had a campaign to redo this building, they were very successful in raising the amount of money that they needed in order to do all the things that they felt were necessary to do for the library. So it's a very up-to-date library now, and I think the information systems that have been implemented here are a great addition. I can get some copies of things through the internet now from the town, from the library. I don't need to come to the building anymore to get information.
It's for your economics.
You know, it's a lot of my business dealings.
The investment club.
Yeah.
Another thing, going back to the museum, I was also on the both building committees for the what we call the barn, and for the Gund building, which is the big new building at the library.
No,
at the museum. I'm sorry, I get my institutions mixed up. And that was a wonderful experience. The second one was with Graham Gund, and we worked with that company. And so, great experience.
You must be a real hotshot at this at these building issues. And,
oh, I love building. I love building. We build our house.
She's a frustrated architect.
Okay.
She would have made a marvelous architect because she has a wonderful sense of space and proportion, which I don't have. But when we built our house, she worked with an architect, and I guess he did half and she did half.
As I said to him one day, you asked him, I said, are we more involved than some people who build houses? And he said, well, Sarah certainly is attentive. I made out pages of things that I wanted, and we got all but about three things on it. So, love it.
Of course, we lived in Concord at the time, and I was working diligently at the time. So Sarah would go to the site for the new house and consult with the builder and the architect almost every day.
I bet they loved to see you coming, didn't they?
Well, they acted like they did. They may have thought, oh, dear, here she comes again.
We got along. She got along very, very well with both the architect and the builder.
That's incredible.
Both of whom did a great job for us.
And then you went on to use those skills, or perhaps already were using them, on your in your volunteer work with the museum and the library.
And the Healing Garden. We put a building, the addition to the building on there.
Which garden?
At the Healing Garden.
Oh.
We put a building addition on there.
Can
I was on the.
Excuse me.
I was just going to say, I was on the capital campaign for that, raising the money for it.
How do you raise all this money?
I hate asking for money. I told Dennis when he came to be head of the museum, I said, I don't like to raise money, so don't ask me to go out and ask for money with you. I said, okay. So I kind of broke him into it, and Ann Brooke followed me. And she loves to raise money, so it was just perfect. They put on a campaign when Ann came on. Have you interviewed her? She lives in Boston. You should. They, Ann and Peter, are very involved in this town for years.
They may have been interviewed before we came.
Maybe.
Before we came.
I would think they probably were.
Brooke?
Brooke. B-R-O-O-K-E. Mm-hmm. Peter.
And you were saying?
I was saying that her building experience is carried over. We just have a new building committee at our church, and she's a member. Appropriately.
Well, that's a very special set of skills and abilities to be able to match design with budget and those kinds of.
Don't ask me to go with budget.
No.
No.
I thought sure that you would have been there.
No, I don't like that part. I like the concepts.
The concepts.
Yeah.
Have you been involved in some of that, in terms of the library, what sort of designs came into your mind then?
Oh, I wasn't involved with this one, but with Fowler, very much like the architect, and he just typically we down in the basement we made room where they could in the future put an elevator, but we didn't have the funds to do that at the time. So when they just redid it again and used to put the elevator in, I said, we were right. We were right. Yeah. I may not have the concept to start with, but once somebody gives me something to work with, I can see things better. I love it.
Well, this has been a terrific look at the town through your eyes, I have to say.
Well, it's probably a different town than somebody else mentioned.
Person.
Yeah. That's what would be fun to read and hear what other people say and the way they look at it.
We have the best job in town, maybe.
I think you do.
Well, then there's downstairs there are volumes of, I don't know if Leslie showed them to you, of this social circle, the men who started it back in the early times, and all the volumes they have.
We've looked through some of those.
Talk about that some.
Well, I don't know much about the social circle, except it started out with being a lot of the men who were involved with running the town. That's older than
yours. Much older than
it's,
the I belong to a men's dining club in the evening, too. But that we don't have the history that the social circle has in Concord.
Does it have a name, too?
Yes, it does. It's called Boys Friendly.
It's just what they are.
Does it have rituals, too?
No rituals.
Just wear the bow tie that's given to them.
Yeah, we all have a tie that we wear for dinner.
But no rituals?
No rituals. None.
Nobody thinks they have rituals.
No.
That's another bonus.
Then the women of the, both Boys Friendly and Social Circle got a little annoyed because they met in the evening, the men would all go out, so the ladies decided they would start one called Ladies Tuesday Club. And that started where they used to meet Tuesday afternoons, though. And they would have a cup of tea and two bites, which would mean, you know, two little finger sandwiches. And that has carried on, and it's, I think, about 126 years old now. So, and they don't have a president. They have a secretary and a treasurer. And the role of, well, I guess our, the, what would you say, the modus operandi is to gather and have fun. So we do.
And what constitutes fun?
We may share books that we've read. We may share poems that we've read. We may build pictures of us on the table when we were maybe 21, and you have to go around and see who you think was who the picture's of, and tell why you came to Concord, and just anything that comes up. A lot of times we have a speaker, usually connected with what goes on in Concord.
One organization in town that we have not become very involved in, but it's also an important one, is the Concord Art Association.
Oh, yeah.
Many of our friends are very much involved with it, and it's they put on, of course, art exhibits and do courses, and it's a very active and successful art association.
It's really blossomed in the last few years, last 10 years, I'd say.
And those exhibits are mounted where?
They have a building. Okay. The Concord Art Association has a building on Lexington Road.
Kind of across from the Emerson House, just a little bit farther across the street.
And they do a good job of attracting somewhat reasonably well-known artists. But it's mostly local. They concentrate on local artists. Or it doesn't have to be Concord, but in the vicinity of Concord.
It sounds like it's primarily visual arts rather than performance arts.
Oh, not performing. That's the players who do that.
Okay.
But it's working with their hands, or some people do, clay.
Yeah, I think we call them visual arts. I mean, sculptor and,
paintings.
And
painting.
But not music.
Not music. Oh, then we have the Concord Chamber Music Club, Society, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
And they have one of the members of the first violin section of the Boston Symphony has organized the Concord Chamber Music Society. And we have three concerts a year, I guess. Usually they're held across the street here at Concord Academy in their performing center. And they get wonderful musicians and have a very good turnout. It's very successful.
What a town.
What a town, yes. It's a great town.
Thank you for telling us.